You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, we have an exclusive interview with the mayor of Prince Rupert, Herb Pond, to talk about several things, including a water pipe update. Where is Prince Rupert at with its water pipe replacement project? There has been a constant boil water advisory since December with no indication of when it might be lifted, but the work is proceeding and still has a long way to go. We also chat about the looming U.S. tariffs and how that could impact Canada's third largest port and the city that supports it, as well as what the future might hold for development of new pipeline projects near Prince Rupert as global trade disruption slowly appears on the horizon. That and more coming up on CICK News. Stay with us.
My name is Herb Pond. I'm the mayor of Prince Rupert, and I'm sitting in Prince Rupert on a gorgeous sunny day.
Great, Mayor Pond. Thanks so much for being with us here on CICK News again. Of course, as I mentioned, lots been going on in Prince Rupert lately. We wanted to talk to you firstly, though, about what's been going on with the upgrades to the water pipes and the water system in Rupert. Where are we at with that?
Yeah, so we're in the early stages of a multi-year project. It, as promised, is going to be very disruptive to people's lives. It's a challenge, of course. I liken it to renovating a house and living in the house at the same time. And it's just impossible to do that kind of work without getting drywall dust in your cereal, right? Like, and that's kind of what we're going through as a community as we have raised the money now to replace a third of our water distribution system, the most critically aged and vulnerable parts of that system. And so most of the work to date has been out of the community's real heavy traffic. There's an old industrial road where the pipe runs up from the ocean, and our water supply is actually on the mainland. We're on an island, so our water supply runs under the harbor and then over to us, comes up from the ocean. And so that pipe, which is a major pipe, has been replaced, but for the most part, that's out of people's vision. We're now starting to move into neighborhoods and starting to tear up streets and tear up neighborhoods and then hopefully put it all back together better than it was. But all of that means that we end up on boil water advisories for far longer than we'd like to be. We know that's annoying. We know that has a cost to businesses, particularly food service businesses, just the work that has to be done. And it's progressing well, but we've got another few years of this.
It's not an easy situation by any means, but as you mentioned there, in one case, with businesses as well as with, you know, homes, residential, you know, they are incurring some of this cost, having to get water, bottled water at restaurants and whatnot. Is there any plans to help businesses out for the foreseeable future, knowing that this is going to be going on for a few more years?
Well, the most we can do to help is keep those boil water advisories to the even as I'm saying that, I'm going to interrupt myself and say, we do not control the boil water advisory. That's a Northern Health function. We have to meet certain standards that they're comfortable that the water supply is safe. And so, but we will do everything we can to minimize that time. I know that there are those out there that would love to see us provide some sort of incentive or maybe a reduction in the fees or those sorts of things. The challenge is we're not a multinational company with profits that come from everywhere that we can move profit from one area to the other. The very money that people would have us give back in some way, shape, or form is the money that will fix the pipes. And so the choice becomes, do you want to fix the pipes so that we get to where we need to be, or do you want a little bit of short-term relief? And one of the ways that we get into this mess is that councils over the years have preferred the short-term relief solution. You know, we won't raise fees as much as we need to, we won't do the work. And this council is just determined that as tough as it is, it's got to be done. It's just got to be done. We've got to get ourselves to a place where our pipes are good.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's, you know, one of those major things. And of course, on the same note, you mentioned one note there. You know, you don't control these boil water advisories. On the same note, you know, wasn't the current, you know, council's fault that these pipes went into the condition that they're in? You know, this has been a long-term issue over decades and decades. Your council's just the ones that you know, have the pleasure of having to find the money, the hundreds of millions of dollars to replace them all, and we're the ones taking the disruption. But, you know, you bring up a good point there, which I wanted to touch upon. Obviously, we've had this conversation before about, you know, the development that's going on here in the port. Rupert is now the third largest port by volume in Canada. It obviously punches, you know, much higher above its weight in terms of population and the size of it. Where do you see this going long term, knowing that development is continuing, but obviously these infrastructure issues are also a bit of a problem that we're going to be dealing with for decades to come? So how is the city balancing wanting to see more investment, new investment into the community, into the port area as the third largest port in the country, but also balancing this issue of the pressure on the infrastructure?
Yeah, it's a terrific question. And I remind people all the time, you know, it isn't even just the councils of the past, it's us, all of us. You know, we voted for those people that made those decisions and supported them, right? There was nobody saying, hey, you know, I want to vote for the guy that's going to raise my taxes and fix the pipes. So we all got here together. We've all got to get out of here together. And that's happening. But you're right. When we're done the pipes, we are under significant pressure from the federal government to deal with our sewage treatment next. And that's hundreds of millions of dollars. We currently, and since the city's inception, have used a series of outfalls that disperse sewage into the harbor. And we need to move to sewage treatment. So there's another whole piece. After we've got the pipes fixed, we need to move to water treatment, pure filtration, right? And so these big expenses still sit in front of us. That's one of the reasons why we are attacking the revenue side of the equation as well. We the RBA, the Resource Benefit Alliance, which put another $7 million roughly into annually into the coffers, very helpful. We're after a number of other things, everything from new business attraction to dealing with the port tax cap to, you know, whatever. We have a list of the things we're working on that will help get the income that we need to do the work. And as I describe it all the time, the port industries have been tremendously successful. And Rupertites should be very thankful for the work that the Port of Prince Rupert does and all the terminals and all the investments that are being made. That has saved our bacon. But what has happened is over the last 20 years since the pulp mill closed and we reinvented the economy, is the terminals have been doing really well and the Port of Prince Rupert's been doing really well, but the community still struggles to catch up.
Yeah.
And so we've got lots of work to do, but there's a really encouraging things. You know, one of the things that's encouraging to me is the amount of investment that First Nations are making in Prince Rupert. All the major housing projects that are underway in Prince Rupert today, and the ones that are on the books for the most part, are because First Nations are making investments in Prince Rupert. They're buying businesses, they are partnering in businesses, and so there's a lot of good things happening, and I think we're just about on the cusp. I'm always reluctant to talk about what's coming until it's really there, but I think we're on the cusp. I'm seeing some things developing in the background that will be proof positive to the community that the community itself is going to catch up, and I think as those things come forward, people will. I think the real vision of where we're going will become obvious to people.
Which brings us to another point I wanted to touch upon. Obviously, this time of year, councils across the board are looking at finances, looking at budgets, priorities for the next year. What are the other than obviously continuing on with the pipe work and the waterworks replacement? What are the top priorities for Prince Rupert in 2025?
Oh wow! Our budget was set. We set it back in November. It's one of the practices that our council has gotten into, along with staff, is so often because of the nature of city government, where you don't know how much your revenue is going to be until the spring, when all the tax assessments are done. A lot of times councils and organizations wait till that information there before they set their budget. We did the opposite. We started in back in September, so that we could have a budget so staff can start confidently spending and progressing come January. And so we're well into it. It is all about infrastructure renewal in its many different forms. Okay. So yes, it's the pipes, and yes, it's replacing the sewer lines as we replace the pipes. However, there are all kinds of projects, large and small, throughout the community that we need to do just to keep up. One of the ones that the residents of the area were really hard on council. They weren't hard on council. They were really clear with council. Was the 4th Avenue stairs, for example. That's about a $400,000 project. There will be those kinds of projects, looking after the assets that we have, making sure that the assets we have don't fall into any further disrepair while we're doing those things. We will be finishing off the new RCMP station, which will really give that corner in town a really nice sharp look. And we're hopeful that we're going to see other development coming up around it. The much debated roundabout will begin construction this year. That is a highways project, but it has a huge pipe component to it, which really makes a difference. We're in conversations with highways right now about how we can put back 2nd Avenue into a different kind of street, more of a city street than a four-lane highway. And because we're going to have to go down that street, down 2nd Avenue, replacing pipes. So again, if we're going to tear it up, let's put it back together in a way that looks forward to the future of Prince Rupert, what Prince Rupert needs to be 50 and 60 and 70 years from now.
Yeah.
And I think, again, those are going to be very disruptive projects. But as we start to see the fruit of those things, and people start to see this is a town, a community on the move, I think it's going to be incredibly exciting for people.
Do you know when the construction on the roundabout will begin?
No, we haven't got anything firm. My understanding is Highways is in the process of bidding out that work, and so we should be getting timelines in the next little while. It will be, I keep using this word, disruptive. It will be disruptive. But I think people need to, I want to remind people, I think we've talked about it before, but there are some of the most expensive pipes that we have to replace in Prince Rupert are buried right through that intersection. Mm-hmm. And if the city had to do it, it would cost us $13 million roughly to do that work. Because of those changes that Highways are making, they're making those investments, saving the Prince Rupert taxpayer $13 million. It's a huge savings and a big help.
Just a couple other things for you, Mayor Pond. Obviously, as I mentioned as well, you know, lately we've been hearing of this threat of U.S. tariffs. How are those threats of U.S. tariffs and our partners also in the other side of the world? And how are some of these discussions and these threats impacting some of the business here in Rupert? What have you been hearing?
Well, you know, there's no doubt that it's worrisome. You know, it mostly worrisome because of the complete uncertainty. You know, you can we don't know from day to day what the administration to the south of us is going to do, and so that's unsettling and difficult for business to plan. But the opposite side of that is all of the discussion in Canada broadly and British Columbia specifically is how do we diversify away from you being so fully dependent on American markets? How do we move our products to other places and front and center, both for Canada and for British Columbia, particularly northern British Columbia, is the Port of Prince Rupert. So in a lot of ways, while there's uncertainty and that causes some angst, it's really, I think, setting up probably a decade of heightened opportunity as British Columbians in the north and across through Alberta and Canadians broadly look for new markets. They are going to be looking through the Port of Prince Rupert. That means we have to keep building. It means that this council, as we have been, has to keep working on housing to be able to look after the people that are here and also attract those new residents that are come for the new jobs. We have to be able to work with Northern Health and get family doctors in town. We're making some progress on that front, but those, you know, I can't change what the Trump administration might be doing tomorrow, but I can focus on the things that make sure we're ready as the business opportunities arise. And while there may be some downsides to what's taking place, it is my full-on belief, particularly having listened directly to the Premier's speech in Prince George and to other cabinet ministers, I think there's going to be more upside for the Port of Prince Rupert than there is downside, and we need to be ready for it.
No doubt. One interesting conversation that came out of, you know, lots of this discussion was reviving some resource projects to get our raw resources to market. In particular, there's been talk of the Northern Gateway pipeline being revived. All those years ago, there was a lot of opposition from, you know, folks here on the North Coast, First Nations, as well as communities. And then they ended up legislating a North Coast tanker ban. Obviously, we're still seeing, you know, resources like LNG soon to be shipped off from the shores here in Prince Rupert. Propane has been being shipped on the rail for a little while, as well as another project coming online. So these resources are getting to market. However, you know, because of that North Coast tanker ban, raw oil is excluded from all of that. Obviously, that North Coast tanker ban would have to go before any of these types of oil projects, pipelines could be entertained. Is that the discussion that you're hearing as well, that you're open to, is seeing if that North Coast tanker ban could be either dismantled or readjusted to allow for other products?
You know, I haven't been part of or heard any discussion of removing the tanker ban. And you're right, if it was to be crude oil, you'd have to get to that place. I think that the discussion of a crude oil pipeline to Prince Rupert is a long shot. It was a hard push the last time, and I think that's a long shot. I think there's far more likelihood that they will find ways to increase the capacity of the existing Trans Mountain pipeline. You know, I'm reading articles that say they can, you know, through pressure and other things, move more product in the same pipe. Probably that's the more, certainly it's the quicker way, and the more likely way. It is a massive challenge to build a pipeline project in Canada. And in spite of the short-term euphoria that there is about we've got to get away from the U.S. markets, this, you know, any discussion of a new pipeline project is, it's a 10-year process. And I think the enthusiasm that exists today will probably be muted by the time we get to anywhere near a decision. So I'm actually... I'm not bothered when people raise the prospect, because I actually am very skeptical that it will ever see the light of day. But there are other products that we can be moving. We move them safely now. We can move more of them. And LNG, we're going to start soon. We'll be seeing the first shipment of LNG leave the coast. It can be done safely. The people that work in that industry really know what they're doing, and they have an incredible safety record. And there's no reason to believe that that we as British Columbians can't be world leaders in those kinds of projects.
Indeed.
Just finally, for you, Mayor Pond, as I mentioned, we saw the opening ceremonies of the 65th All-Native Basketball Tournament. The tournament is always held here in Prince Rupert over the last 65 years, the biggest basketball tournament in the country. You got the crowd going, but it always has been pointed out to me that there's this massive influx of folks that come into the community for a week-long endeavor into being basketball champions here in British Columbia and Prince Rupert. Why do you love the All-Native Basketball Tournament so much, and what does it bring to your community?
Oh, my gosh. Thanks for that. It is, you know, I said last night, my heart is full, and it is. When I get there and I see these teams that have come from all over, you know, they've come from all over the North Coast, the Northwest, they've come from the Southern Coast, they've come from Alaska, all bringing their particular culture, all sharing their culture, all enthusiasts for this athletic event, but far more than just that athletic event. The pride with which the Kitkatla drummers and dancers and singers did the opening ceremony last night, and the family interaction, it you know, as you well know, I mean, you may be from Kitkatla, that may be your mother's lineage, but we're intermarried on this North Coast. There's, you know, I watched people that I know dance with Lac-a-Lams out dancing with Kitkatla, there's just this coming together. Aside from the basketball, which is always fun and top-notch, there's that whole cultural piece that's happening in the auditorium where there's traditional foods and art and people exchanging things. It is part of what made me fall in love with Prince Rupert many, many years ago when I first came here. It's such a gathering place. It's a place where many, many cultures come together and make room for each other and enjoy each other and learn from each other. And that has produced some of the world's greatest artists. It's produced an incredible range of food and experiences. And we see the culture of 10,000 years of history or more continuing to be practiced, not as some sort of, you know, thing that's put on for tourists or whatever, but this is the way we do it, and I just love it. I can't say enough about it. I just love it.
All right, Mayor Pond, much obliged for answering my questions today. Thank you so much for giving us your time and insight. Always a pleasure to speak with you, and I'm sure we'll speak again.
Yeah, thank you. I love the way you bring these issues forward with a time frame that allows discussion. Thank you.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.
Learn more about CICK. Visit us at smithersradio.com. Yeah, .com.